Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just know you're the King of kings and Lord of lords. You are the light of the world. We acknowledge that, Lord Jesus. We bathe in your light. We just thankful that you are here. We thankful for the powerful message, the powerful words, the powerful praise. Lord, we just want to be in your presence, Lord. Bring us there. Bring us there. In your holy name, Jesus Christ, the King of kings, Lord of lords. I pray these things in your name. Amen. So one thing the Lord has always taught me, has been teaching me more and more, is to be flexible. And when things happen, pay attention. And so I was in Agua Prieta on Monday, and I was teaching. And the lights, in the rehabs, they're kind of like, think about small buildings with a wall all around them. So when you're in there, really all you can see is building the building and where you're at. And I was teaching in a not a big room, it was pretty small, and the lights would go out. They'd go out for like 10 seconds, go back on. They'd go out for a minute, and then they'd go back on. And it happened so much that I said, okay, we're going to stop. Because when you're in a room with people you don't know and the lights go off, it's just not so comfortable. And Mitch knows, you know? I took Mitch to one rehab, and it was a jail, you know? You're in jail, and it's the lights out. So I just said, okay, that's it. And I prayed over the guys, and I was leaving. I was walking out. There was a cable, and it was a twisted wire cable going through the middle of the yard, and I was following this cable to the exit of the gate where they unlock the gate and they let you out. And the guy let me out, and I followed the cable to a man attached to a welder. And he was welding. That's how the lights were going out, because the electrical service wasn't really good. The welding went on. Everything went dark. And I asked him, and I could see what he's doing. He's welding the bars on the windows. And I go, what happened? He goes, we just had four inmates escape. And I said, well, like when? Like just now. So right in the middle of my service. So he's welding the bars back up where they got out. And I don't know. I just know the enemy thrives on darkness. And so I'm putting my notes aside because after Pastor Calvin shared with what he has experienced, I'm seeing the same thing. And I remember the first time actually I was in a prison and the lights went out. That was a very scary, initially scary time. I was in Winslow, Arizona. I was in an open yard called the Coronado Yard. I was teaching a Spanish Bible study every Tuesday night. And I finished my Bible study, and it was just like what Bill said. I was walking through the yard. I saw a lightning strike in the distance, and then all of a sudden, all the lights went out. And this was a yard of about 500 men. And when you lose power in the prison, all you hear is click, 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 click. Everything locks. So if you're on the outside, you're there. If you're on the inside, you're locked in. And I was walking through the yard, and all the brothers around me, and the demon-possessed people started howling. I'm serious. Just demonic. Started howling. And it was, you know, I had my brothers with me. I wasn't afraid, but it was an interesting experience when the enemy, he is an intimidator. And one of the things I'm seeing is, and I was going to preface this in a sermon, but I'm just seeing the enemy is intensifying. I can't explain it. I just, in the last 3.5 years, I've never seen the intensity level of what we're seeing, that I personally seen. I have had demonic people frequently come to services. Melissa's seen it, and it happens, and almost always with a point of a finger, and in the name of Jesus, you be quiet, and I say in English, Spanish, whatever, French, whatever language you pick, they understand, and they back down. I mean, I've done groups of people that were getting demonic, and in the name of Jesus, and boom, boop, boop, they sit down, okay? And when Melissa and I were in Navajoa, this was the summer, we experienced the first time it didn't work. I don't know if you guys have ever been in a car, and it happened to me one time, and you try pushing the brakes, and the brakes didn't work. That's what it felt like. It's like, Lord, what's happening? And it's the level, the enemy knows his time is short. He is increasing the intensity, and it's scriptural. You can even see when the disciples came back from the 70 were sent out, and they said, Lord, even the demons obey us in your name. And then later on in the gospel, when They brought the demon-possessed boy after they came down from the mountain. And they're like, we couldn't do it. Why couldn't we do it? Well, it's a measure of faith. You got to have your faith in prayer and fasting. There's an intensity rising up. And it's just like, Mitch, when you train your athletes, you don't train them, okay, let's just do a couple laps and then you guys are good. Nuh-uh. It gets, you train more and more and more because the competition is going to get tougher and tougher and tougher. And that's what I'm seeing. I was last week, I was with a friend of mine who I started a evangelistic ministry 6 years ago, and we went into San Luis, Sonora, and we went into Mexicali. And I've never been there, Mexicali. I've never been those two places before, and we also did ministry on the streets, actually on the boardwalk of Oceanside, California. And I saw two things. I saw in the rehabs people get saved, and I saw them pleading to be discipled. And I even brought pictures just because sometimes you hear this, but when you see, let's see, I got two pictures. This was one right here. I probably should have seen it passed around. It's small. But this was a group of six men, two women that got saved. And one guy, he got his New Testament. He's like, what do I do now? And so I'm a math professor, so I gave him homework. I said, okay, read this. I'll come back in November. So my intention is to come back. So I'm seeing fruit. Here's another picture. This is a picture of 20 people getting saved. This is in San Luis. And it's actually a rehab that's Catholic. You know, they've got their things. But the director was like watching me, and he was okay. And I preached the word, and I asked, who wants a relationship with the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ? And these 16, 18 men came up and said they do. So fruit, one of the things the enemy does not oppose when the fruit's not happening. He only opposes when there's fruit is abounding. He only opposes when things are happening. So I've just grown used to it, but I must say it's the level's getting up. It can get kind of uncomfortable. We experienced in Oceanside, California, a demonic person that actually we experienced several demonic activities where one woman tried pulling the Bible out of my friend's hands. We've never seen that before. A couple other things, and not to get us fearful, but the one thing we both got from that was the enemy's on the rise, and he knows his time is short. And we have fruit. We have fruit to be abound, and we're not to be afraid. We're going to grow this kingdom where the enemy opposes us or not. The Lord is going to have his victory, and we're going to see it, and we're going to be joyful, and the enemy is going to lose. I love what our pastor said. So that was an observation. That's what I saw last week, and even this week, even in my services in Agua Prieta, that people are getting saved. People are wanting to know. And I can honestly tell, we were talking friends yesterday, really the big limitation is feet on the ground, workers in the field. And that's where we all need to be. We need to be in the field. And the Lord is teaching me, and he wants to teach. He wants to give everyone a ministry. He wants to give everyone this, souls. These are souls. It's the most beautiful thing in the world to see souls brought into the kingdom. Let me check on time. Could I do a short sermon? Okay, because I do want to get into the word. Okay, all right. So I'm going to save this. Okay, so I'd like you guys to go to the book of Numbers. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 33. Numbers 33, I'm going to start in verse 50. Okay. And I was actually teaching this last night. I think we all know in the Middle East, there's Egypt, and then there's the wilderness, the Sinai wilderness, and then there's the promised land, Israel, Canaan. And we all know that Moses taking the people of Israel through the Red Sea is symbolic of salvation. And one thing I can tell you right now is people are wanting to get saved. They really are. And I don't do the pressure at all. I just say, Do you guys want to know the God of heaven? Like, yeah. And there literally are people waiting for people to ask them. So salvation, I want to say salvation, we all know, is the entrance point. And plenty of people want to get there. But few people reach Canaan. Few people reach the promised land. And I'm going to start in verse 50. And this is after they had passed through, of course, the Red Sea. They had gone through the desert. They had gone through the wilderness. And verse 50 says, and this is New King James. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan, across from Jericho, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess. I will stop there. We all know God wants to bless us. We all know God wants to give us that promised land. He's waiting. He's waiting. He wants us to have the victory. He wants us to have what he has prepared for his children. And so here we have Moses on the plains of Moab, the other side of the Jordan. He's looking at the promised land. And the Lord says, tell them, when you go into the promised land, do what? Live in comfort? No. He says, drive out the inhabitants. Drive out the inhabitants. This is the process of sanctification. This is the process of, we're saved now, what? Like that young man who asked me in Mexicali, what do I do now? You're to drive the inhabitants out. You're to destroy the engraved stones, destroy the molded images, destroy all their high places. I went through this last night. Okay, let's destroy your past. You're a new creation. When you're saved, your past means nothing. Don't dwell on your past. And let's go through, okay, these idols, okay, these inhabitants. The Lord knew, to an unbeliever, this seems really rash. Why did God want to kill these people? Because God knew that these people would not give up their demons. These were demon-possessed people. And if you've been around demon-possessed people, it can be very frightful. But there are some demon-possessed people I've been around, and Melissa's seen this too, where they don't want to give up their demons. They like them. And I personally, I have not been able to understand that, but they like them. So the Lord knew that these people would not be redeemed and where to throw them out. And as Pastor was talking today, which is amazing, about those thoughts, we're living in a spiritual world. There's demons all around and they're bumping it up. They know their time is short. And they're going to want to intimidate us. They're going to want to distract us. They can't steal our salvation, so we don't have that fear. But we're to throw them out. They're going to hinder us. They're going to hurt our relationships. They're going to hurt us from receiving what God wants us to have. So here we have the call of throw them out. So, and do what? You shall dispossess them and dwell in the land that I give you to possess. And it goes on in verse 54. Verse 54 is a whole another study. It says, I will give you, based on the size of your tribe, I will give you. I truly believe God is going to bless his people, and he's waiting to bless in abundance. Some people are going to get a little blessing because they just don't want the big blessing. Okay, so let's go down to verse 55. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them. Wow. So the Lord is saying, this is a command. We're to throw out the past. We're to throw out these spirits, these familiar spirits, these things that have inhabited our lives from sometimes from birth, generational curses. We're to throw these things out because God wants to give us that promised land. And if we don't throw them out, they're just going to be irritants. In the Spanish, I read from the Reina Valera, it actually says like needles in your eyes, thorns in your sides. And we don't want that. And the Lord wants to give us the promised land. But we have that responsibility. We're to take the step of faith. We're to cross over the Jordan, and we're to throw out the old. We're to throw out the things that hinder us. I've gone through this with a lot of these interns in these drug rehabilitation centers. Sometimes that means you're to get rid of some friends. You're to get rid of people in your, and I mean that relationally. You're to cut off these relations that are just pulling you back. Because so many people, when they're in these addictions, all it takes is one person, and they pull them back. It's like a drowning person that wants to pull you in too. So here we have the Lord's command, and this, and I want to point this out. These words were spoken to Moses. Okay, so I'm going to go two other places. So Moses, the man who led God's people through the Red Sea, this was spoken. Okay, let's go to Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Okay, so remember, these words were spoken to Moses, now in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1. And this is New King James. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Okay, we'll stop right there. So again, the Lord is confirming what he said. That's what he does. He confirms again that he is giving us this land. He is giving the Lord's people physically the land of Canaan. Verse 4. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea going down of the sun, shall be your territory. So the Lord's drawing his boundaries. Verse 5, No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So one of the things I always teach is, and a lot of times we have to overcome things of our past. God's not a God of chastisement, of punishment. He's a God of blessing. And here we have him. These words are just edifying. From the wilderness, here's your land. Verse 5, no one's going to be able to stand against you all the days of your life. And the Lord's telling us that too. Again, when I see these demonic forces, the Lord always wins. The enemy does not always win. The Lord is the victor. The Lord wants to give us that victory. And of course, a lot of us know this. A lot of the children know this. The latter part of verse 5, I will not leave you nor forsake you. That's who he is. He doesn't lead us into a battle and then pull back. He goes in front. He goes in front. That's who he is. And verse 6, this is where we need, this is us. Be strong and of good courage. Don't listen to the enemy. I tell this all the time. Don't listen to the enemy. When I see demon-possessed people, a lot of times I only look at their eyes because they do grotesque things. I speak over them. I'll look. And if they're tall, I have to kind of look a little higher. But I do. I speak over them. Be strong and have good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord wants to give us the promised land. The Lord is waiting to give us the promised land. And again, we need to be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. And we have responsibilities to do what? This is the part where Pastor Barbara was talking about in her prophecy today that we received obedience. the Lord is, so let me stop here. One thing that we should do, I do all the time. I bring paper when I come here because I receive prophecy. And you know how I know it's real prophecy? Because it happens. I write it down. And when I want to give a testimony after this teaching that we received testimony before or prophecy before I went to California. And I told my friend, and my friend's like, it just happened. And it happened like 3 times. He's like, dude, it just happened again. Okay. All right. That's prophecy is real. Okay. So let me go back. So our responsibility is to do what? That you may observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. We're listening to the Lord. This book here is not just a book. This book is God's revelation to us. And it contains instructions for us to do. To do what? Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Don't compromise. We're not to be friends with the world. And why? Because it says that you may prosper wherever you go. God wants to prosper his people. He really does. I truly believe that. I see that. God is waiting to prosper his people, not just bless it, bless his people. In the drug rehabilitation centers, one of my favorite verses is John 10:10. The Lord didn't come to, the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, but the Lord came to give life and in abundance. So our responsibility, obedience, and obedience to what? His law, his word. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. And we all know the power of the tongue. And you got to speak it. There's something about it. That's the other thing too is when there are demonic or even sometimes when in our own family, when we experience spiritual things happening, speak the word. There's something about it. I can't explain it, but the enemy will cower at the word of God. And I teach people sometimes it's something as simple as in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Just simple. Just use the words. It's the sword of the Lord. And also says in the middle part of verse 8, and you shall meditate in it day and night. It shall be part of who you are, part of your thoughts. Fill your mind, because the enemy, we all know that the battle is not in the streets or in the border. The battle is in the mind. The enemy throws these thoughts at us, and the battle is here. We need to prepare and have our weapons stored up, meditate it, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. When it's in our mind, it's going to be in our actions. It's just how it is. When it's in our mouth, we're going to do it. It's something about who we are. When we combine those two things, our thoughts and our speech, our do just happens. Don't explain it. I can't fully explain it, but I see it. For then, the latter part of verse 8, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So this is a little bit of testimony. Several years back, we were part of a movement that came about in the latter 60s. It was part of the Jesus movement. It was a really good faith movement, strong worship, like we have here, strong teaching of the word. And I used to go to the men's conferences, and I went to several of them. And the one thing that bothered me was in the men's conference, they would always ask, who's struggling? And they would give, they'd list the big sins, the familiar ones we know that are plaguing the church right now. And about a third of the men would get up. And I remember the first time is like, really? And then I went the second time, and it's like a third to half of the men got up again. And then after a while, I realized it's kind of the same men. And it's people aren't getting the victory. And God wants to give us the victory. He is waiting to bless his people. He wants to bless us in prosperity. He doesn't want us cowering in our sin. He doesn't want us cowering in our inability to do things. He wants us to rise victorious. He wants us to have our head above the world and to live and to show people. Because you can't show people when your head's like this. I can't teach people if I'm depressed in my own sin. I have to be above that. And that's where the Lord wants his people to be. He wants us to be prosperous, and it's that prosperous is a big word. Prosperous in this. He wants us gathering souls by the hundreds. He is waiting. Okay. So first I took you to Numbers. That was to Moses. Moses, and I took you to Joshua. Moses died. Joshua, another good leader. Okay. And I want to talk something real quick, because we all know our leaders are important, but our leaders can't do the job for us. God, our leaders are there to show us. Good leaders like our pastors here, they do. So we can watch them and imitate them and be successful like they are. But they can't do what God called us to do. So Moses brought them to the Jordan. Joshua took them across the Jordan. Okay. Now I'm going to go to, this is probably, I think, one of the most difficult books for me to read in the Bible, the book of Judges. Let's go to chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. Okay, Judges chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm going to cruise through the whole chapter, okay? Judges 2, verse 1 says, "Then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, 'I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. Make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this?'" Verse 3. "Therefore, I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their gods shall be a snare to you. So it was," verse 4, "so it was, when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and wept." And I'm gonna stop here. So in my Bible, those words "angel of the Lord" are capitalized, and most scholars, most people that study the Bible believe it was a pre-incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ coming and speaking these things. He said, "I led you out of Egypt." Okay, the Lord's gonna say that to us too. I saved you from your sins. I led you out of Egypt and brought you to the land. I placed you at the shore of the Jordan, okay, that I promised, and I don't break my covenant, the end of verse 1. And verse 2, this is basically restating what he already told us in Numbers 33. "You shall not make covenant with the inhabitants of the land." We're not here to be friends with the world. I've been saved for 24 years. I've seen things now in the American church, just where sometimes things that happened 20 years are starting to kind of like come around again, and they didn't work the first time, but sometimes they do. And we're not to be friends with the world. We're to save the world. We're to pull the world out of the fire of hell. That's who we are. We're God's instruments to do that. But we're not to make covenant. We're not to be place ourselves under their authority. We're not to place ourselves in fellowship, unhealthy fellowship. And it says we're to do what? We're to tear down their altars. And it says, "But you've not obeyed." And this is the part that breaks my heart, and it does of the Lord. And you know, when we, and I say we, me, myself also, when we haven't obeyed when he told us what to do. Because when he tells us what to do, we can do it, not by our own forces, but he'll do it for us. He just wants us to take that step. He wants us to take the step. We don't have the forces to do that. The enemy is still very powerful, but he is almighty. Our God is almighty. Our Father is waiting to do it for us if we only obey. Verse 3 says, "Therefore, I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their gods shall be a snare to you." And that's almost paraphrase or content-wise from what we read in Numbers 33. The enemy, if we're his friends, will pull us down. It's like when I see those drug addicts, when they go back to their old friends, they just pull them down. And I went to one rehab, but it says, you know, they come to the gate of the rehab and they offer me drugs through the fence. they're not your friends. You need to throw them out. And the same thing with anything that is a snare. And the end of verse 3 says, and their God shall be a snare to you. That's how the enemy works. He tries to lure us in what looks, things that are nice, things that are maybe not even have an evil appearance, but snares that pull us away from our Lord, pull us away from receiving the promised land. In verse 4, it says, so it was that the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel, and the people lifted up their voices and wept. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke these words. We have the written word right here. The Lord has spoken those same words over us. I love the book of Romans where it says, you will not have, there is no excuse. The word has been given to us. And here the people saw it, and what did they do? They wept. And verse 5, then they called the name of the place Bochim, and they sacrificed there to the Lord. And that word Bochim translates to weeping. Okay, so they wept. Verse 6, and when Joshua had dismissed the people, the children of Israel went each to his own inheritance to possess the land. This sounds good, right? This sounds good. The people repented, and then they went in to go possess the land. Verse 7, this is where it starts falling apart. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about just kind of general overview of what I see the book of Judges as. So verse 7 says, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. And we all know it's real easy when we've been around people that have seen great things happen. And when we have seen miracles and things happen, but when you haven't, you just get dry. and that's one of the things that I just encourage. When you serve and you see someone get healed, it just puts fire in your heart. I saw real healing happen, I'm trying to remember, about a month and a half ago in Cananea. And it was a young man who, he told me his infirmity, and I prayed over him, and his body started to shake, and I thought it was going to be a demonic manifestation, and it didn't. And all of a sudden, he just got this serious look on his face, and then it went to joy, and he testified in front of probably a room maybe half the size of this room, but with like 40 people. He testified that I got healed. He said, I felt a healing going through his body. And boy, after that, I was like, whoa, I was so excited. The only thing is like, I wish there was someone here that could have seen that too. It was so cool. Okay, so those are the kind of things will rejuvenate you. When you see those things, there's no doubt. It just wipes doubt away when you see the moving of the Lord. So here we have the people serve the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen the great works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Verse 8, excuse me. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. I'm going to stop there. So in our nation, I believe we're seeing some of our older, stellar leaders of the faith are getting old, like Billy Graham. His Lord doesn't come soon. He's probably going to pass on. And there's something about that. When we rely on that, on what they saw, it's not the same. It's what I saw is so much more powerful. It's good to hear. I like to hear what people have seen. But when I see it, wow, no one can take that away from me. Okay, so verse 9 says, and they buried him within the border of the inheritance of Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaash. Verse 10, then all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, and another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. This is where I think where a lot of the American church is at. Mom, dad saw this. Grandma, grandpa saw this. I didn't see this. And there's something about not seeing it that the enemy will use the doubts. Oh, did they really see that? Did that person really get physically healed of blindness? And, you know, that's how the enemy works. He plants those seeds, and when you don't see him, you're like, I think so. It's what they said. So here he died. He passed away. So we lost who? Moses died. Joshua died. And verse 10 says, the latter part, after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel, verse 11, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. So I truly believe this pattern is no different than what's happening in our world now. If we don't see it, we can fall. We can stumble because the enemy plants doubts. If we're not engaged in the battle, if we're not seeing the souls coming, it's okay, well, I heard him talk about the souls. See it. It will just, it's like, I tell you what, when I left those two places, wow, I'm ready. I get a refreshment. At the end of the day, I'm exhausted. Excuse me. So here we have verse 11. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Verse 12, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. And one thing that the Bible is so clear is, if we don't do this, this will happen, right? Didn't he just tell us? And if we don't throw them out, they will be a snare. Guess what? They didn't throw them out. They were a snare. And it's just so consistent. It's consistent in our own spiritual walk. If we don't throw out the things of our past, if we don't throw out those doubts, if we don't throw out our you know, pick whatever, laziness, distraction, you know, desire to live other ways, it'll just be a snare and it'll pull us down. And here we have, they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out, who had saved them. They forsook the God of their salvation. And they followed the other gods from the gods of the people who were around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. We don't want this. We don't want the Lord provoke the anger. Verse 13 says, they forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. And the Ashtoreths are the goddesses of the Canaanites, and all sorts of horrific, lewd, disgusting things we don't even want to talk about. But that's what they do. They forsook the Lord, and what? They serve Baal. They serve the wicked one. And I tell this in Mexico all the time. I say, you can serve one or the other. You can serve the Lord, or we can serve the devil. There's nothing in between. There really isn't. The Lord, the world paints this picture. You know, you can live in this neutral place. There's no neutral place. You're serving the Lord or you're not. Okay, verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around. So they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. Okay, so what the Lord said, he did. Verse 16, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked. In obeying the commandments of the Lord, they did not do so. Verse 18, and when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. I'm going to stop there. So again, we have this cycle. We have this cycle. The Lord brought who? Moses. The Lord brought who? Joshua. The Lord brought who? The judges. And what happened? They saw the blessing of the Lord, the salvation of the Lord, the restoration of the Lord, but then they fell away. They fell away. They fell away. And again, it was seeing it because he did it instead of we possess the land. And okay, and then verse 20. Then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not heeded my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he had died, so that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua. And I think this is where we're at right now. And I wrote down the word of prophecy Pastor Barbara gave us. Said, now is the season. Be obedient. We belong to God. We have a victory. Breakthrough. That's the first word I wrote down that Pastor Barbara said, breakthrough. There's a breakthrough waiting to happen. But you gotta take the step. I gotta take the step. I know, I can tell you. I know what discomfort's like. I know what it's like to walk into a prison. It's scary. I know what it's like crossing the border by myself, going into places that I've never been before. It is scary. But the Lord wants us to take that. He wants us to break through and do what he called us to do. He wants us to harvest these precious souls. He wants you to see healing. He wants you to see people be restored. He wants to see people. He wants you to see those demons cast out. The Lord could do it right now if he wanted to. But I believe he wants his people to see it. In the name of Jesus, out, poof. There's power. Okay, so here's we have the Lord saying he's testing us. And I don't know. I know you guys, I know I'm a big fan of this magazine. I really like it. I know Pastor Calvin, him and I share a favorite author. His name's Lee Grady. And I can't tell you right now. I feel like we're in the book of Judges. I feel we're there where we got the promised land in front of us. We're receiving prophecies that are real. These are real things. I write them down and I do it and I see them happen. And I believe we're in the book of Judges, but there's an author here, Lee Grady, that wrote about the coming awakening, the things that the Spirit's telling him that he's going to see. And one of them is, which is real interesting because it's in the book of Judges, is an anointing of women, where in the book of Judges, we see that with Deborah. We see the enemy, Sisera, got handed not to the man who was supposed to get the victory, Barak. It got handed to a woman, Hiel. And we see other things. We see there's going to be people who are young, Gideon, people who are not qualified, that do not have credentials. That was another thing that Lee Grady wrote, was a rising of lay people to do things that people weren't expecting to do. People that weren't what the church recognizes as someone important, doing some really important things. So I go through the book of Judges, and you can go through it, and you can get kind of depressed because, wow, they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Or you can look at the other side, and that's what I look at. I look at this. I just love this. I love to see people come to Christ, and no one can steal that from me. But I would love to see other people come bring their pictures and tell me about their victory. I want to hear that. I really do. I don't want to just have a Pastor Calvin, Pastor Barbara tell us all the great things that they've seen and done. I want to hear everyone come and say, look at this. Look what happened, because it's real and it's waiting to happen. You go through the book of Judges, and again, you can do the same thing now. We can look at the situation of the world and say, well, God's people aren't doing well, okay, but guess what? This person is. And God's going to give it to that person, and they're going to gain the victory. And we're going to see these breakthroughs. I do want to give a testimony of prophecy that happened. So Spirit Fire Worship, Sunday before last, I received a prophecy from Pastor Barbara about, you will get red lights that are clearly red, and green lights that are clearly green. And when we were in Mexico, we would go to a rehab. They never see me before. I was like, this is who I am. Can I come do a service? And I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Clear everything out and go on in. And my friend goes, green light. And we go to another one, and they were talking through me through the bars of the windows. And it was like, they didn't want to let me in. And he looked at me, that's a red light, okay? It kept happening several times. Prophecies happen, and you'll see them when you take the step. When you don't do anything, things just don't happen. But when you do take that first step, that's all you got to do, that little step. That prophecies will happen. They're waiting to happen. In the book of Judges, God wants to, he doesn't want his people to suffer. He doesn't like that. He doesn't want his people to get saved and to be year after year dissatisfied. He doesn't want that. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to see the victory. He wants us to see the enemy under our foot. He wants us to see God's people prospering. Prospering and huge harvest of souls into his kingdom. Okay, so again, you can read the book of Judges and get down and be depressed. Or you can read it and say, that's me. I want to be Gideon. I want to be a Deborah. I want to be, and you can go through it, and I don't want to be them. So when you go through, again, God gave it to Moses. God gave it to Joshua. Prophets. But God's people had to step out to get the prophecy. God's people had to go possess the promised land. And God's people had to do what? They had to clean house. They had to throw out the inhabitants of the land. They had to throw out the idols. They had to throw out the things that are hindering them. And it's the same thing with us. We need to throw out the things that are hindering us. And it's not simple, but we can do it. We have the authority to do that. We don't have to live bound to our past. We don't have to live bound to the sins of our family. We don't have to live with the mediocrity just because my friend here lives that way and he says he's a Christian. No, God wants us to have the victory. God wants us to see the kingdom burst open. God wants us to see these prophecies be fulfilled, but you got to take the step. I have to take the step, and it's hard, but we can do it. So I have, let's see, can I have 7 more minutes? Okay, thank you. So that's the teaching of the word. That is, I want to give some testimony right now, because we can read this. We say, well, you know, I'm not him. I'm not a Joshua. You can be. Yeah. I love Gideon because you look at Gideon, he had the excuse book. I'm the least. My clan's the least. But God raised Gideon. Okay, so this is testimony on this scripture, on Numbers 33, Joshua 1, and Judges 1, is how to take the land. And I can tell you, it's hard, but you can do it. But you gotta take the step. And the first thing, what I personally use for me, when I started 3.5 years ago, I used the book of James. It's a nice, skinny little book that has what you need to start a ministry. And if go ahead and turn there with me real quick. I just want to page through James. James is like, if you want to step out and do a ministry, it's almost like a very skinny instruction book on how to do it. And you go through it, you know, you've got the faith, you've got the who Jesus, who the Lord is. You've got, I love this, faith without works is dead. You got to have the do. You got to go do also. And the power of the tongue and humility, submission to God. So much of this is our pastors have taught us. Who is wise among you? Be meek, humble. Resist the devil. God resists the proud. We need to resist the devil. I personally taught this when I was in the prison in Winslow, and actually used this in my first several months in Mexico in the prison. I'm sorry, in the ministry here in Mexico. And this is a great 5 chapters. You can read it tonight on how to start, on what you need to do. It's pretty intact. And let's see. 4:17. Oh, and the other part too is it gives us the same warnings. God's warnings don't change. Chapter 4, verse 17 says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And I love the book of James. It's such one of the easiest books to read. And how to do it is be close to the Lord, listen to him. And when he tells you to do it, do it. Even if it's scary, just do it. And it goes against our culture. It goes against on how a lot, I know how I was raised. I was raised, you should be qualified. Don't do something if you're not ready to do it. Well, if the Lord tells you you're ready to do it, you're ready to do it. And you will be. Okay, so that's my scripture and my testimony. Can I have just a few more minutes? I got one last thing. I'm going to do pictures because I do pictures in Mexico. Because I don't speak really good Spanish. So sometimes I use pictures. So one of the things that the Lord will show you and shows me all the time in your everyday life, he'll show you in your circumstances things you need to learn. And, one of the things that Melissa and Samantha and I, we lived in Flagstaff for 10 years. And living in Flagstaff, I learned a lot about trees. I learned a lot about trees. A lot of trees up in Flagstaff. And actually, in the Word of God, I know Nina actually taught on this, that the Bible actually talks about people are kind of like trees. There's kind of like a similarity. And if you don't believe me, read Judges chapter 9. There's a whole bunch of talk. And the trees said, it's actually there. That's homework. So one of the things I've learned about trees is we have a choice. You can have healthy trees or you can have unhealthy trees. We all know about all the forest fires. We all heard about the bark beetles. This is a picture. This is near where Melissa and where we lived in Flagstaff. The forest is very unhealthy, very unhealthy. And the people say, oh, it's because of drought. Oh, it's because of bark beetles. No, it's because the forest hasn't been tended. The forest has not been taken care of. And how we know is, okay, I'm going to have some other pictures, is, okay, this picture here, I took a couple of years ago in Flagstaff. The trees are skinny. They're all leaning. They're all overcrowding. They don't get very tall. They're probably not even halfway as high as the ceiling. They're very unhealthy. And and trees are like people. Again, the Bible does teach us that. That, and for lots of reason, the trees in Flagstaff are not healthy. I have a picture here. This is a tree that's about 25 years old. It was cut down about 5 years ago, and I took my stick and I just poked a hole in it with my stick. I take it like a walking stick. It's like a cake. It's like styrofoam. It's not strong. It's weak. And I have another picture in the same forest that they actually The lumberjacks went through the forest in this part of Arizona. They cut down the big trees 100 years ago. I have a picture of a stump that was cut down 100 years ago. It's hard as a rock. It's not rotting. It's ancient. It was cut down by hand. That's how you can tell it's that old. And the same thing is with us, is we can choose to be weak. We can choose to live in under our potential, or we can choose to live. I have a picture of a tree that was blown over by a tornado. They call these the big reds. These are the ponderosa pines. They're huge. They're solid. They're strong. They're deep-rooted. They're healthy. And lots of reasons. They've seen fire. When we go through persecution, when we go through trials, we get stronger. When we hide from them, and we become weak. And again, the Lord wants his people to be prosperous. The Lord wants his people to be strong. The Lord wants his people to be healthy. The Lord wants his people also to care. So we had trees in our house, at our home. And one of the things with our trees is if you don't cut the limbs, the dead limbs out, problems happen. Like fire happens. And it's just like us. We need to prune the old. We need to, just like the God's people, throw the old inhabitants out. We need to cut out the old stuff that doesn't work and get rid of it. And when you cut the dead out, the tree gets stronger because it gets more light. When we throw out the old in our life, God can show us and we can grow. And it's just like a tree. And same thing is we're also a healthy tree. The other thing is healthy tree. The other thing a lot of people don't understand is healthy trees don't burn. 100 years ago, they didn't have these huge forest fires because the trees were healthy. They didn't burn. That in the museum in Flagstaff, it said you could ride a horse at full gallop through the forest among the trees. Well, you can't in a person, I can't even walk through this. It's because it's not healthy. And it's like, it's the same thing. The Lord gives us the same illustrations. When we're healthy, we're strong. When we're healthy, we can endure fire. We can endure persecution. The Lord, the enemy's throwing things at us, just like what the pastor said. But we can endure it if we're strong. Or we can cave in. And I'm here to say, I believe the prophecies I receive at this church, I write them down. And I know that they're true. And I know I have to take the step. I have to do that. I believe things are happening. And I think that's why the enemy is bumping things up. I think that there is a wave coming, and I see it. I believe a lot of it. I see it in Mexico. I see a wave of young people coming, desperate young people willing to do things that in the satanic world, horrible things. But these same people, won to Christ, could be warriors of Christ. I'm here to testify that. I'm not saying it's by my own works, but I'm just here to witness and just to tell you that it's true. So God bless you guys. Thank you for letting me teach, and let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask that blessing be upon us, this faith ministries. I ask you to bless every one of my brother and sister in Christ here. I ask you, Lord Jesus, give us that boldness. Give us that desire to take the promised land. God, we just know we're mighty because we're your children. And we know who we are. We're saved by your blood. We just thank you for who you are, what you want to do in our lives. And we receive these wonderful these prophecies that come from you. We receive these prophecies, Lord Jesus, that there's doors opening up. There's waves happening. There's anointing being poured out. Lord Jesus, we receive that. We thank you for it. And we're anxious to see what you're going to do. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. We honor you. We love you. And it's in your holy name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.